You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on May 28th, 2026. And this week, we're talking about how Christians should dress for worship services. In many ways, our culture in the United States has gotten much more casual over the past few generations. And this includes the way that we dress. And this trend toward more casual attire has made its way into churches, as Christians often do not dress up very much, if at all, when they assemble for worship. Well, does that matter? We're going to discuss that today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-28-26. Now for our discussion this week. A few months ago, I posted an article on Plain Bible Teaching titled, How Should Christians Dress for Worship Services? And the points we'll be discussing here will be largely based on that article. However, as I've had some more time to think about this topic and have also had additional conversations with people on this subject, I wanted to address it on the podcast and also cover one or two additional points that weren't covered in the article. Now, there are usually two sides to this question. On one hand, you have some who insist that Christians should dress in their Sunday best and dress formally as if they were going to a funeral or going to meet the president. On the other hand, you have those who would argue that it doesn't matter what we wear for worship because God looks at the heart. Therefore, they claim it does not matter to Him what we wear. Well, which of those sides is correct? Or is the right path somewhere in between? The Bible contains some principles and examples that will help us determine what we should wear when we assemble for worship, and we're going to talk about that today. First point is this: there is no specific dress code that is given in the New Testament. Remember that Jesus commissioned his apostles to go and make disciples of all the nations. And when Peter went to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, who was the first Gentile convert, he acknowledged that God would welcome people from every nation if they would honor and obey him. This means that when these disciples from every nation were taught to observe all that Christ commanded, as it says in Matthew 28 and verse 20 in the Great Commission, they would be able to follow his instructions. The teachings contained in the New Testament about our assemblies and how we conduct ourselves in them is able to accommodate different cultures and customs in different times and places on through the end of time. If the New Testament contains some type of dress code for our worship services, and it was based in a first century Roman culture when it was first revealed, we'd have a hard time conforming to that, as would most people today. So there is not a specific dress code that is given, but even without a dress code, the Bible contains principles that help us determine how we should dress. And so we have to exercise wisdom in deciding what to wear when we assemble for worship. So the second point I want to notice is this. We profess something with our dress. This principle is contained in Paul's instructions about women dressing modestly in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness, or professing godliness, as the King James Version says. The way that we dress makes a statement. Fashion designers and retailers and fashion-conscious consumers recognize this. Clothing is designed and advertised and worn in such a way to convey some type of message. Clothes send a signal that the person wearing them is respectable or smart or wealthy or rebellious or dependable or fun or artistic or any number of descriptors. However, Christians often want to act as if the clothes that they wear say nothing about them or their priorities, and that is naive. When it comes to what we wear to worship services, how we dress sends a signal. Number one, it sends a signal to our brethren. Besides worshiping God, we assemble in order to stimulate one another to love and good deeds and to encourage one another, as Hebrews 10 tells us. This means that we should not dress in a way that disregards or distracts our brethren. We do not need to dress in such a way that we're trying to impress others, but we do need to be mindful of them and avoid dressing in such a way that suggests that they are unimportant to us. But our dress also sends a signal to potential visitors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul spoke of the possibility of unbelievers entering into the assembly of the church there in Corinth. And he explained to them that their assemblies were to be conducted in such a way that would help point these visitors to the God that they were worshiping. As Paul explained at the end of that chapter, they were not to cause distractions by conducting their assembly in a disorderly manner. We can apply that same principle to our clothing and not dress in a way that distracts visitors from God and His Word. But also our clothing sends a signal to ourselves. After David's sin with Bathsheba, he prayed and fasted for 7 days, appealing to the Lord that the child that was born to them might be spared. And when he finally received the sad news that child had died, the text says that he arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. Doing those things, which included changing his clothes, was to send a signal to others and to himself that the time of mourning was over. We should dress for worship in a way that sends a signal to ourselves that this is a special time to honor God and to offer the praise to Him that He deserves. But also, how we dress sends a signal to God. We know that God sees the heart, but that does not mean that He is unconcerned with how we present ourselves as we come before Him. When the people of Israel gathered at Mount Sinai, although God could see their hearts, He still required them to dress in a certain way, and we'll discuss this more in just a minute. But Hebrews 12:28 says that we are to show reverence and awe as we approach Him in worship. The clothing that we choose to wear should reflect that. But again, we don't see anything in the New Testament that resembles some type of dress code. Men are not commanded to wear a suit and tie, nor are they necessarily prohibited from wearing jeans and a t-shirt. Women are not instructed to wear dresses and condemned for wearing pants. But there are principles to consider, and we have to exercise wisdom in applying them. But before we get to those principles, there are a couple of examples that relate to clothing that was worn to an assembly that I want us to notice. The first example was that of the Israelites assembling at Mount Sinai after their deliverance from Egypt. They were instructed to prepare to meet God when He came down on the mountain. The Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Beware that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. These people had just escaped Egyptian bondage, and they were now in the wilderness. They did not have many provisions, and certainly not a lot of extra clothes that they could wear. Yet the Lord expected them to make an effort to present themselves in the best way possible, which included washing their clothes. The second example was the assembly that James addressed in his epistle. The text does not tell us specifically what was worn, but it does give us some clues about how they were dressed. "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, you say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" This passage in James 2 is the only one in the New Testament that describes how anyone was dressed in an assembly of the saints. And interestingly, the clothes described were not worn by any of the members of that church, but of two visitors. One was a poor man in dirty clothes. This man did not fit in based on appearance, suggesting that Christians were not accustomed to dressing that way when they assembled for worship. Of course, there may be extenuating circumstances at times, such as when someone has to come straight from work. But it was the exception and not the rule for someone to come dressed that way. The other was a man with a gold ring and fine clothes, and the brethren paid special attention to him, which means they were wrongly showing favoritism, which James rebuked them for. It also suggests that they weren't dressed in the same type of fancy clothes that the rich man was wearing. It doesn't mean they weren't dressed nice, but they weren't dressed in such a way to try to impress others or draw attention to themselves. So, all that being said, there are some principles that we need to consider when we try to decide how we are going to dress or how we should dress for a worship service. One factor to consider is modesty. We often think about modesty in terms of not exposing certain parts of our body that need to be covered. And that is important, even as we consider how we dress when we assemble for worship. But modesty is more than that. Paul explained that the women were to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments. We should not dress in a way that would draw attention to ourselves as we assemble to worship and honor God. Another factor is that of respect or reverence. We are to approach God with reverence and awe, as we saw in Hebrews 12 and verse 28. And the Israelites did that at Mount Sinai, in part by washing their clothes and making sure that they were presentable. The clothing that we wear as we approach God says something about our attitude toward Him. So we should be intentional about what we wear and not think of our assemblies as something that is common. But we also need to factor in consideration for others. We worship God in our assemblies, but it is not only a personal interaction between the worshiper and God. We are also there for one another. Hebrews 10:25 says that our assemblies are for the purpose of encouraging one another. We do not want to send a signal, whether through our words, actions, clothing, or anything else, that we do not think that other people belong there. And then another factor is culture. Everywhere we go, there are cultural norms that are universally accepted, or nearly so. These will be different from place to place, different in an urban area as opposed to a rural area, or an affluent area as opposed to a poor area. Different countries will have different standards for what type of clothing they are to wear or are expected in certain situations. These differences in culture are not to be a barrier to the gospel or a hindrance to one faithfully serving Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22 that I have become all things to all men, and we do the same when we adapt to the culture that is around us, and that includes how we dress. So it is undeniable that the cultural standards of dress in the United States have become more casual since the mid-20th century. But that does not mean that cultural standards no longer exist. We could ask the question, how would someone in our culture dress in order to display modesty and reverence and mindfulness of others? Whatever that looks like, in every culture is the baseline for how we should dress when we assemble to worship with other Christians in that cultural setting. Now, one additional question that was not covered in that article that I referenced that I wrote a few months ago. Should preachers or elders dress up more than others? Yes, generally speaking, they should. There's a principle in James chapter 3, which is not long after the discussion about how people were dressed when they visited the assembly of the church in chapter 2. He said, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Anyone who holds a publicly visible position in a local church, whether as a preacher or elder or Bible class teacher or anything else, will face stricter judgment. On one hand, this means that they will be judged by God for how they've taught the word. On the other hand, it also means that other people will hold them to a higher standard. This includes what he says, how he acts, and even how he presents himself, including how he dresses." Remember, our clothing sends a signal. There's a reason why police officers, doctors, and others like that wear what they wear. Their uniform makes them easily recognizable, it commands respect, and it instills confidence in someone who approaches them for help. Now, we don't have a uniform like they do, but elders or preachers or teachers in the church should portray themselves in a way that instills confidence in others, projects authority, and presents the image of one that others can approach for guidance and spiritual instruction. Notice this example. It's a sermon clip that I stumbled across on Twitter, or X as it's called now. If you're watching the video, you can see it on screen. If you're just listening, it's a video clip of a pastor at a larger church and what he is dressed like when he is speaking. And he's dressed in an oversized puffy vest with a sleeveless shirt underneath, one arm covered in tattoos. Does he look like the preacher? Does he look like someone who can answer your Bible question? I'm not questioning this guy's sincerity, even though I would probably disagree with much of what his church practices or teaches. But my point is this. If you walked into a church building where you knew nobody, but you had an important spiritual question that you've been wrestling with, and you saw two people inside, this guy who's dressed like this, and someone else who is neatly dressed in properly fitted clothing, maybe wearing a tie, who would you approach? Really, who would you approach first? Now, someone might say, well, this guy in the puffy vest might be better equipped to answer that question. That might be true. But the reality is that human beings naturally make judgments like this. So knowing that if we are preachers, teachers, or elders, and we want other people to feel comfortable approaching us with Bible questions or to receive spiritual guidance, we should present ourselves in a way that makes us look like the one that they can approach, and this includes how we dress. Now, a common objection that people will say to this is that, well, God looks at the heart, and that is absolutely true. And He is the only one qualified to make accurate judgments based upon what is in our heart. But He has still given us principles in His Word about how we are to dress, as we've talked about, modesty and reverence and consideration for others. And one reason it's important for us to dress a certain way is because people, not God, but people make imperfect judgments. This is why Christians, and especially preachers and elders, need to dress in a certain way. So in summary, the New Testament does not tell us specifically what we are to wear when we assemble for worship. But following biblical principles, we are to dress modestly, demonstrate reverence for God, and show consideration for others. We need to recognize that opportunities to gather with other Christians to worship God are special and are not common. We should also recognize that our clothing sends a signal to our brethren, to potential visitors, to ourselves, and even to God. And we need to take all of these factors into consideration as we decide what to wear when we assemble with the church. So putting all of this together, we don't have a list of specific rules, such as we have to wear a suit and tie when we assemble for worship. But the general tenor of these principles suggests that our reverence for God and the importance of the assembly should lead us to dress up more than we would on most other occasions. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-2826. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who would be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that will be posted on Substack. The link will be in the show notes if you want to check that out. Also, if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.